I'm going to ask you to find Luke, the 15th chapter, with me today. And as I have been thinking about this message, there is a sense of brokenness that I believe the Lord is going to present through me today. And the brokenness is this, is that for some people here today, you're just never going to move past that realization that, yeah, things are bad, and do something about it. And so today, as we look at the bad and the good news about the distant country, this is the last in the series, we're going to talk about immediate action. And so I hope that I can stress today, for some here today, it's time to take immediate action. Now here we are in week 5. And we've been studying the parable of the prodigal son. And last week we saw the prodigal, the one who had everything, left home, went and wasted everything. He finds himself in the pig pen. He's feeding pigs. And he's so hungry that he's even willing to eat what the pigs are eating. And what we see from last week, or what we saw, I should say, from last week, is just a progression. This young man came to himself, and he had to be honest about his circumstances. His circumstances weren't the best. In fact, they were very deplorable. He had to be honest about what brought him there, and what brought him there was his own actions, and subsequently, he had to be honest about the consequences. And we can sum those three steps up with just one, or actually two words, and that's just brutal honesty. Those three steps just bring us to this place in life where we're absolutely brutally honest with ourselves. He had to be brutally honest about his situation and realized, until he was willing to realize that, he wasn't going to go anywhere else. And he had to admit that something was wrong. And this kid is a lot like a lot of us. He had to go beyond just saying, well, this is just a little bump in the road. This is more than just crashing at my friend's pad. No, he had to come to the place where he said, I shouldn't be here. I don't belong here, and I'm not going to stay here anymore. So far in the story, we have two of the three critical elements that it takes to come to yourself, to have that moment in your life where it's the epiphany, where you say, aha, you know, I'm here because of my own actions, but it doesn't have to stay this way. You have to have a sudden awakening, and you have to have brutal honesty. And those are great, but I think hopefully you remember some of the things we said last week. We can have flame out. We can have burnout at the brutal honesty stage. We can realize, well, things are bad, but we just don't do anything about it. See, the reality is, and it's what I'm trying to stress this morning, you've got to ask what's next. You've got to move on. You've got to have an action plan, because having the resolve to do something will determine the difference between a sad story and a wonderful story. Now, there's stories sitting out in the congregation this morning. I'm a story standing in front of you this morning. The only difference between a sad story and a really wonderful story, like the prodigal son, is simply action. Taking action. So just remember this. Listen to what I have to say this morning. If you want your circumstances to change, you got to change your environment. And that's exactly what this young man did. Now let's look on the screen here this morning. I think we have the verses on the screen, 17 through 20. If you have your Bible, you can read there along with me. But when he had came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? Now verse 17 calls ourselves to that process of sudden awakening. You know, he looks around, he says, you know what, things aren't good. They really stinketh around where I'm at right now. And so he realizes things are bad. Let's look at verses 18 and 19. And I will arise and go to my father's house and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. make me like one of your hired servants. Now, let me just say this about those two verses. In those two verses, we have brutal honesty. He accepts the blame. It's not about, well, if she hadn't said this to me, or if I hadn't been offered that, or if I hadn't went to this place, or I went to this party. No, he accepts the blame for what has happened, and he also accepts the consequences for what has happened. All that has been done is his fault, and he's willing to say, okay, I'm willing to suffer because of it. Now, here's 20. This is a wonderful. Look at what it says here. And he rose and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now this is the third stage here. This is the wonderful final stage about the journey home that we are titling immediate action. It's what has to happen. Now, may God bless the reading, the hearing, and the preaching of his word today. Now we understand, just a little bit of review. He had a sudden awakening. He came to his senses. Then he was brutally honest about himself, about the consequences that he deserved because of his actions. And now he wants to truly move on. He wants to have that full aha moment, that moment where he finds out what the good news is about the distant country. He had to act. He had to do something, because unless you act, you're not going to have the full benefit of really coming to yourself. Unless you act, here's what's going to happen to you. You're going to be on this emotional roller coaster. It's going to be, okay, I can get better, and then I'm going to go down. Or I'll be okay for a little while, I'm going to go down. You're going to miss a golden opportunity unless you take immediate action. The good news about the distant country is that if you act now, if you're willing to do something about it right now, God can and will restore you. That's what we see in the story. You will never restore yourself in a gracious on your own. It's got to be God that restores you. See, he does it in abundant love. He does it because he's your heavenly father. He does it because he's graceful. Now, I thought about how we could maybe describe this to a little fuller extent about acting right now. And, you know, I think a few years back, Jim Martinson gave me this Groupon thing, website. Anybody signed up on Groupons? Yeah, a few of you are. Yeah, you know what it's sort of about. It's kind of like this. It's Groupons or Cincy Groupons, and you get things that are sort of local. Here's how it works. You sign up for the emails, and every day there's a deal that's sent to you, maybe several different deals. I haven't looked at it for a while, but you have to do this. You have to buy the coupon. The coupon may be for 50% off, or, you know, 3-for-1 kind of deal, that kind of stuff. It's some of the stuff is really neat. And the idea is that you can save a lot of money by acting now. And every once in a while, man, there are some really great deals if you like to eat out or play golf or do different things. I mean, there's some great deals there. And it's really worth your time and your effort to go after it. But you know what I have done a few times? I have seen this wonderful deal. I said, you know what? I'd like to go there. I'd like to do that. And then I just sort of turn the computer off and I go off to something else. And several hours later, I'll go back and I'll look and the deal's gone. It's filled up. They're only going to take so many. See, I think some of that can happen to us when it comes to acting out immediately about changing our circumstances right now. Some of you here this morning, you get jazzed up. You know, I'm at church. I'm here. You know, the music was great. It was this. It was that. Had some fun in Sunday school. But you're going to walk right out of here pretty much the same way that you walked in. You're not taking the appropriate actions. It's like the next day, the deal's gone. And for you, the moment you leave here, the deal's gone. See, the bad news. I want to give you what the bad news is today. You need to fully understand this. This may not be a popular message, but it is a message that needs to come nonetheless. Unless you act now, there's a good chance that you may never act. How much does God have to do to restore you? How much does he have to do to call you back into his fold? Unless you act now, the reality is you may not experience the full liberating feeling that can only come by coming to yourself and taking the right actions. See, you're not going to completely get there. I think it's the hardest of all the three ingredients that we've talked about here in the distant country. It really is. It's hard to be brutally honest with yourself. It's hard to hear what others have to say about you. But you know what? You can tune that out, turn it off, and go on. It's quite another thing when you tune in and realize, you know what? I got to do something, and then really do something. See, translating what we know into actions is a very difficult thing. It really takes a lot within us to do that. It can be a failure to launch when it comes to actions. We just don't want to blast off. It's like mission control has given the command, all the right things are setting, the button's been pushed, but you fail to launch. Practically, here's what it looks like. When you look down the morning after Christmas, and you say on the scale, you know what, man, good night, what happened to me? Thanksgiving and Christmas, not good. You know exactly what you need to do, but you wait. You put it off. You don't do what you're supposed to do. See, why is it that we have to wait to New Year's to make the resolutions that we need to make? If something needs to be done, it needs to be done now. See, the hardest part of coming to yourself in the prodigal son is that it just doing something. This kid realized that he couldn't stay there. Back in verse 20, you see the little phrase, he arose. And we get that from one Greek word, anastaimi. And it's in the same family of words where we get the word resurrection. And really, literally, we could say that this young man had a resurrection to himself. It literally means to stand again, to live again. So what Jesus is saying in this story, when this young man came to himself and he got up to do something about it, he had a resurrection in his life. His life was about to turn around for the better simply because he was willing to do something about it at that moment. He got up and he started a new life. So to me, as I read this, studied this, prayed about it, it's a resurrection in a sense. The reality is getting up, doing something right now can change everything. I came across this little saying, and it's this: a man can do more than he thinks he can, but generally does less than he thinks he does. If we're going to make some footprints in the sands of time, we've got to get up. We've got to get started. Because the reality is, getting up can be the difference between good and bad. Practically, getting up can be the difference between divorce or mending your marriage. Getting up can be the difference between struggling with ongoing addiction or moving on to freedom. Getting up can be the difference between giving in to peer pressure and social pressure and staying away from the things that you swore that you would never get into. You just got to get up and move out of the situation that you're in. Getting up is the difference between continually feeling alone and not forgiving someone that has hurt you and moving on. So my question is this: what does it take to get up? God's shaken you? He's let you hit the proverbial brick wall? You're looking around, you realize it's nobody's fault but your own? Well, today's the day to do something about it. And I want to give you three things that sort of fall into this category from where we are at in the scriptures from this young man. First of all, where you are. It's a question. You've got to know where you are. You've got to ask yourself. Some of you are saying, well, I'm at 6853 Gilmore Road, 45011 Hamilton, Ohio. Now, I'm talking about your personal circumstances. I'm talking about where you're at right now. Just like this son had to be brutally honest about his situation, he had to understand that staying there is unacceptable. Here is the bad news and also the good news about where you are. Bad, if you stay. If you stay right where you're at right today, then it is the definition of sanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. But if you choose to move ahead, then it can change. It will change. We need to take an understanding to life that God is there, but God gives us choices in life. And your life can be a summation of your choices that you've made. You can choose to be bitter, or you can choose to be better. You can choose to wallow in the sin that you're in, or you can choose to rise above it with the help of God. Because if you don't make that choice, then nothing is going to change. You're going to be still sitting in the same pig pen that you're in. God's about to action. He's always about that. See, in the Old Testament, he was always calling his people to action. He's doing that today in this congregation. Morally, the nation often found itself in the pig pens of life, and God was never pleased with that. They were visiting this country. And Elijah, probably one of the greatest of maybe of the Old Testament prophets. I mean, he was just a unique individual. He in 1 Kings, he challenges the people with these words. How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal be God, then follow him. But the people answered him not. And that's it. Answering not is just the same as saying, I ain't going there. I'm not going to do anything different than what I'm going to do. I hope we can see that. There's a call to action. God calls people to action. Because really, we got to figure out, being in the pig pen really does stink. Doesn't it? The moral mess that you're in, the dilemma that you're trotting through right now, that you're wallowing in, just be honest, it's no good. And sometimes we just don't want to get up because we think, well, it's not going to get any better. This is the way things are. It's like the old rock song that says, well, my get up and go must have got up and went. We're not going to change anything about what we're doing. Well, here's three things that we can see in this young man's thought process about where he was. He didn't like it. So first of all, his resolution outweighed his reservations. Now, let me tell you, changing your circumstances, you can have some reservations about it. I fully understand that. Will my dad accept me? Will my mom accept me? Will the church accept me? Those things are legitimate things to think through. And going home, we know for this young man, would not be easy. Father, his brother, his neighbors, man, they all witnessed what he did. They all knew that he was coming back with nothing. And he could easily be rejected. I want you to understand, if you decide that you're going to journey home today, there is a chance you could be rejected by fellow prodigals or fellow church members, for that matter. Here's what this guy did. He casted all those reservations aside, and he says, I don't care. I'm going back. So number one, you got to say, you know, I'm going back. I don't care how people respond to it. I don't care if I'm accepted or not. I'm doing this because it's the right thing to do. Second thing, his desire outweighed his desperation. He had a desire to go back. He was in a desperate situation, but, you know, his desire to get out of it was better. Greater. He was desperate situation, and as long as he was there, he was going to stay there. So his desire outweighed his desperation that he was in to move on. Don't grow accustomed to your bad circumstances. Can I tell you? It's better in God's house, even on the worst day in God's house, than it is the greatest day in the distant country. So his desire for the better outweighed the bad. Here's another thing this young man did. His consequences did not outweigh his current circumstances. Now, what do I mean by that? It sort of tied this all together. Well, here's what I mean by that. He knew that going back was going to cost him something. He was willing to no longer be the son. He was willing to work and do whatever he could to try to repay the debt. And that's what he was willing to do. Someone has said that change will never happen until the pain of remaining the same becomes so great that change is necessary for relief. Can we understand that? You know, it's like we have a shoulder problem. Some of you have joint problems. You've had knee replacements, whatever. But it becomes so bad that you can't avoid it. Yeah, I got to go in to the doctor. I'm going to have to go under the knife. I'm going to have to do something about this. See, he was willing to do whatever it took to find the necessary relief. He thought through it carefully, and he fully understood that there was consequences for leaving the father's house, but those consequences were not as bad as living in the pig pen. Now, here's something that I want to stress. He did not have the expectation of making all his problems go away. Do you understand that? I want you to hear me very carefully, because here's what's going on. He's really exchanging one set of problems for another set of problems. Okay? He's leaving the pig pen full of problems, full of difficulty, and he's journeying back to his father's house, not really knowing what that's going to look like or what that's going to feel like, but saying, I know it's going to be better there than what it is here. And, of course, his brother wasn't happy with him when he got back. His brother spoke ill of him. You know, this kid wasted everything. He didn't even call him his brother. He said, this son of yours has wasted everything on you, on what you have given him, on wine, women, and nasty music, probably. But he was willing to accept those consequences, you know. Now, here's the practical for us. We've got to ask ourselves where we are right now and take the tough actions it's necessary to change our current circumstances. That's what it takes to get up. You have to go beyond just being honest. You have to say to yourself, self, it's not good. I'm starving to death. My family's imploding. I'm about ready to lose my job. I can't stay away from having a drink every night. You know, whatever it looks like. Here I am. I don't want to be here anymore. That's what you got to say. And when you're willing to say that, it really makes it possible to get up and get going. So that's where you are. But you not only got to consider where you are, but you got to consider where you're going. Okay? See, the second thing you have to know is where you're going. Have some understanding. I'm going this way. Here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying you have to have all the answers. You can't. That, my friend, is impossible. But I am saying that when you know which direction you're going, it makes things a whole bunch easier. Here's an interesting fact. Has anybody ever been to the North Pole? No one? I haven't either. But I do know this. Go to the North Pole. Stand right there on the North Pole. And any direction that you travel from the North Pole, does anybody know what direction you're going in? South. There's only one direction to go, right? So whatever pig pen you're in, here's the practical for us. You just got to get up. Any direction out of the pig pen more likely is the right direction. You know? Just get up and go. Get away from it. Take yourself out of the situation. The first step in the pig pen is just getting up and getting out of it, moving away from it. If you know which direction you're going in, it just makes things a lot easier. Here's what I know. It's always best to consult a reliable source and then just trust it. See, I learned this a few years back on Lake Erie. Had my bass boat up there, and I love to take my bass boat up there. It was always a lot of fun. I haven't been for several years, but there was this great spot that I would go to, and every time that I go up there, I would try to get to this place called Gall Shoals. And the way that I would get there is I would go to Catawba Island, launch off of Catawba Island. I'd make a stop around Kelly's Island, and I would fish around Kelly's Island. Fun place to fish, wonderful place to fish. Well, one day when I was up there, I decided to go sort of west or east instead of going west. And so I went around the west, east side of Kelly's Island to get around to my favorite fishing spot on Gall Shoals. I mean, Gall Shoals is this amazing place. It goes from about 38 foot of water all the way up to 1 to 2 foot. In fact, certain times you can see the rocks as the waves wash over them. And there's all this water between 8 and 15 foot. And it's just smallmouth heaven. I mean, they're crawling all over the place there. So I had this big idea. I'm going to go around the east side of Kelly's to sort of save a little time. And I get out there, and I got this thing here right with me. This is on my boat. Used to be on my boat. I've advanced since this right here. But I had this on my boat. It's a GPS. And it's spot 007. It's a secret spot, obviously. And so I'm looking, and it's giving me the map to it. And I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at where I think I need to go, Rick. But here's what I'm doing. I'm not following this. I'm following what my eyes say. And before I know it, you know where I'm at? I'm in Canada. Yeah. Yeah. I don't have Canada license, friends. Here's what I did. I started trusting the reliable source. And I began to follow the directions that it was giving me, the northings and the westings, following it. In just a little bit of time, I was on Gall Shoals, catching smallmouth, having a blast. See, we got to trust a reliable source. Practical for us here today, we need to trust reliable sources. The moral of the story for us today is the greatest, most reliable source of direction is the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E. Basic. David said that God's word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It's just basic things. The way that we interact with one another. The way that we interact with God. Instructions. 2 Timothy 3rd chapter, verse 16, the Apostle Paul writes, all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, instruction in righteousness. Before leaving earth, heaven and earth will pass away before one jot or tittle of God's word will ever pass away. Isn't that the truth? The Bible's not antiquated. We've abandoned it. We think it's archaic. No, it's in tune. It's up to date. So don't trust your feelings. Don't trust your horoscope. Don't trust guidance from any of the people that you're hanging in the pig bin with, any of your good time buddies that are hanging in the bars or whatever the case may be. Trust God and His Word, and it will tell you the direction that you need to go in. So he knew where he was going. He was going back to the Father's house. And I don't know that he knew exactly how long that journey would take him. Could take months. Don't know that. But I do know that this kid said, I'm starting the process right now to go. He didn't know exactly where he would get food, where he would get water, where he would get shelter, how he'd be traveling. He just said, I'm going. I'm getting out of here. Sayonara, pig pen. And he didn't know exactly how things may have changed at home, but he was still willing to do that. So, when you have that aha moment, when you have that moment where you come to yourself, rarely, if ever, will God let you know exactly how everything's going to come together. Really, it's an act of faith. We journey ahead, taking step by step. But if you know where you're going, you know where the destination is, the stops along the way, each step along the way, really is inconsequential to getting where you need to be. And it might not be easy. The fact is, journeying home can be the hardest thing that you will ever do in your life. But it's the right thing to do. It's the best thing to do. And can I just say this? God just wants you to come home. Everything in your life has been designed to bring you to that realization that He just wants you to come home. You may not feel like you fit in. You know what? I don't fit in. There are people tell you that I'm a strange bird. But I know that I fit in the way God wants me to fit in. It might mean this, friend. You might lose all your friends that you were partying with. So what? Really, so what? It might mean saying to a parent or even to a child, I forgive you. I forgive you. I'm going on. I don't know what it looks like in your life, but I do know it's journeying from where you're at right now and refusing to live in that prison called the pig pen. When you can see past the present into the future that God has ahead, it makes it possible to make that immediate action, to journey ahead. And just know where you're going. God's got something greater for you. It's not going to be the full picture, but it's going to be better than where you're at right now. And all that, in my heart of hearts, I know that it makes it worthwhile getting up and going. You know, a few years back, I really understood what it was like to be the prodigal. And my wife and I were married. And I was not living for God, friends. Very self-centered. Sitting in the church, playing the bass guitar, you know. Living for myself. Being myself. Happy in my own little kingdom. Appearance of godliness, but there really wasn't a whole lot of godly things about me at that moment in life. And it really came to me. That I needed to do something different. I was tired of the pig pen. I was tired of arguing, fighting with my wife. Tired of the headaches and the heartaches that was going on, you know? Just all those things. And that morning at Grand Avenue in Mount Healthy at a little missionary Baptist church, I said, I'm leaving the pig pen. And I've left it. I don't want to go back again. Let me finalize what we're going to say today by this final thing. Who's waiting for you? I think it's important to understand that. Third, you have to know who's waiting for you. Now, have your Bibles on the screen. There's the verses on the screen. These are wonderful, wonderful words. And he arose and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and he had compassion. And ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this is my son, was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now this son had been in his house for how many years, growing up, witnessing the grace and the loving care of his father. But there is probably no way that he could even expect his dad acting out in this way. Maybe the time in the pig pen had clouded his thinking. It can cloud our thinking. Who the father really was, what the father would really do. But where in the story is anger other than the older brother? We don't see it. We don't see it from the father. Where is punishment? Well, the son's trying to say, I'll do this to get back in your good graces. And the father says, no, no, no. Here's the best robe. Here's the best ring. The only person that was sad that day was the poor little fatted calf. See, we don't get the sense that this son is expecting any kind of grace whatsoever. But he gets there, and it's only the opposite of what he's expecting. It's a celebration. Now, here's something I want you to remember. We have no way of anticipating the depth of God's grace. I want you to understand, whatever you've done or whatever you're in right now, there is no end to what God can forgive you of. I know that. He can do that. Even before the son got all the way there, the father gets up to greet him, runs toward him. And you have to understand that culturally this was not normal. In order for him to run, he had a robe on and he had to gird his robe. When you read in the Old Testament about girding your loins, you literally picked your robe up, brought it up in front of you, tucked it in your belt, and you could run. Because you didn't want to drag your robe in the dirt. And for a father to run in that culture was just unheard of, especially toward a kid who had disobeyed, who had taken and wasted all that he'd been trusted with. But this dad, he throws all the social customs, all the taboos out the window, and he runs and he hugs this kid, he kisses this kid. And when Jesus is telling this story, there's not a person in that room. Or shouldn't say room, in that audience there, he was outside, that could have predicted this. And I think that's why Christ told the story. I really do. You just really can't predict what grace will do until you try to see what grace will do. And when you know who's waiting for you, makes the biggest difference of all. See, Jesus tells us about the father who waits patiently, eager for his kid to return. He's really talking to us. Right now, God's patiently waiting for us to return. Jesus tells us about a father who would do anything to see us back in his house. He's also telling us today that right now, God is patiently waiting to see you back in his house. We need to understand that God is waiting for us right now. And so for things to change for you today, for your circumstances to change today, you got to get up. You got to realize that I can't stay here. Start the journey home. Realize who's waiting for you there. You know, you may have wasted your life. You may have wasted your money. You may have wasted your relationships, but God can and will restore those things if you're just willing to begin the process. And it is a process. God lets us go, lets us journey. He lets us make our own decisions to leave. But then he stands there ready to welcome us back. So, don't try to find fulfillment any other way. Find your fulfillment in your journey home. Starts with us. I've got to say, I've had enough. I don't want to starve to death anymore. I'm tired of the pornography. I'm tired of the affairs. I'm tired of the drunken rages that I've been involved in. I'm tired of seeing my bar tab go to unbelievable astronomical sums of money. Start the journey home. You don't have to starve to death anymore. Would you be willing to say, I'm ready to go home? So no matter how far you're away right now, start today. God sets right on the front porch. Really, proverbially, we could say, God is here right now. He's waiting for you. Well, ready to welcome you back with open arms. And he doesn't get tired of waiting. So, maybe through this series, or maybe even starting today, you've had that sudden awakening. You realize, man, this is not good. You've come to the place where you've said, it's my fault. I've made poor choices. And today you're ready to take some action. Would you pray with me today? Father, I preach what you've given me. I know personally, Lord, I'm tired of the pig pen. And I pray that others are tired of the pig pen today. I'm sorry I've hurt you. I'm sorry that I've hurt those who love me. And I'm starting my journey home today. Amen. Would you all stand, please? I want you to look at today's takeaways. These are things we want you to take with you today. These are things to act out on, to think about. First one is this: we can realize that things are bad and that we are the reason that they are bad. But unless we start now, your journey never really begins. Start today. It doesn't have to be a big, elaborate plan. Simple is the process. Going home. I'm getting out of here. You just need to make a decision to step in the right direction. And maybe the most important of all the takeaways today here, we often underestimate how forgiving God's grace is. Now, there's pain in the process of coming home. I want you to understand that. But you got to work through it, friend. Because staying where you're at is unacceptable. Now, here's the challenge. If you're tired where you're at, you're ready to come home, here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to step to the aisle today. Someone's between you and the aisle. Tell them, I'd like to go forward today. I want to pray. I want to ask for my Father in heaven's forgiveness. I want to start the journey home today. There's some counselors who have stepped in place here who will share with you from the Word of God and what that all looks like. Would you be willing to do that? From the pew where you're at right today, you can make that decision. If you make that decision and you want to share with that, me after the service or one of our staff members, one of our pastors, elders, certainly welcome to do that. There's nothing wrong with making public decisions. And I hope and pray that if you are being sought after hard by the Holy Spirit today, that you're going to make a public decision. Let us sing. Please come.